Thanks for listening to this message from the life of St. Bees. We're a church that loves to empower, equip and inspire. And in order to better fulfill this call, we're currently undertaking an audacious church relocation project. Find out more, including how you can take part, at www.goandgrow.london. Thank you, and may this message better help you to live a life full of adventurous faith.
Well, I thought this morning we might have a little practical demonstration. Down at Church at Five, we like to be practical about things. And I thought, well, we wouldn't want to leave the 11:30 service out. So here we go. Love a practical demonstration, don't you? It's great, isn't it? Anybody worked out what I'm talking about today? Are you enjoying being patient, are we? Obviously, this is what patience looks like, isn't it? I mean, you just have to sit there and do nothing when you're patient. Is that right? Is it not right? All right, then. I'm going to put this over here. Patience isn't just sitting there and doing nothing, is it? You know, that's really not what the proverb we're going to look at today is encouraging us to do. When you turn with me to Proverbs 16:32, which is somewhere in the Bible, in the middle-ish. Well, most of you have got a little tappy-tap-tap thing, haven't you? So you're fine. You'll find it in there. But it's kind of in the, if you hold a real Bible. Oh, I suppose the other one is real, but you know what I mean. Anyhow, it's somewhere in the middle. Excellent. Bible bingo, page 620, the first up there. Well done, Ruth. Okay, Proverbs 16, verse 32. Better a patient person than a warrior, one with self-control than one who takes the city. Now, I have to admit, I had a bit of a problem when I read this. I didn't agree with it. Anybody ever read bits of the Bible you don't agree with? Yes? Well, a really useful tip is, if that happens, find another version. Because, not that I'm saying you can dismiss what you disagree with, but actually, sometimes, you know, the version we normally read doesn't nuance it enough to us to really understand it. And when we read some more versions of it, we start to understand what it's talking about. So what it's not talking about is that patience is not passive. And patience isn't about procrastination. Patience isn't sitting there waiting for the skywriting. No, patience is about keeping on, keeping on. It's about trusting God and keeping on, keeping on. So let's read what what a couple of other translations, how they say the proverb. So the New Living Translation says, better to be patient than powerful, better to have self-control than conquer a city. And then the Message says, moderation is better than muscle, self-control better than political power. Patience is trusting in God rather than trying to grab the power for ourselves. So what has God been speaking to you about that you are still having to be patient about, that you are still having to keep on keeping on? Well, you saw some lovely pictures up there earlier, and we'll look at them again later. But You will have seen there that Eden East Finchley, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But 9 years ago, just over 9 years ago, when we moved into Strawberry Vale, God said to us that what he was going to do in Strawberry Vale wasn't just going to be for Strawberry Vale, that it was going to be for the other estates in the area as well. It was going to be for the Grange, and it was going to be for Marketplace and Prospect Ring. And then 5 years ago, we made this little VT because we wanted to kind of invite some bees to keep being engaged with what was happening at Church of Five and what was happening on the estate. We wanted more people to move onto our local estates in East Finchley and not Strawberry Vale. And so we're going to just watch this little VT. How many of you were here 5 years ago? So you would have seen that, but the rest of you probably won't have. And if Ash was here, he would cringe because he hates this VT. I mean, it's not even in widescreen. It's so old. But it just gives you a little bit of flavour of the hope that we had that this wouldn't just be for our estate, that it would be for other estates. So take a look at this. I still love that. I know it's old. I know it's not in widescreen. But the eagle-eyed amongst you would have noticed that wasn't just Strawberry Vale on there. that was also the Grange on there. And we were inviting people to come in and move on the Grange as well, to see the transformation that we'd seen, started to see happen in Strawberry Vale, happen in the Grange too. But it didn't happen. There kept being instances with our team, which meant when we thought we had kind of finally got our act together to start really taking ground on these other estates, something would happen. We'd lose key team members unexpectedly. We would lose buildings, bases for hubs for ministry. There'd be sickness and trauma in the team. But we kept on keeping on. And in February, we thought that we had got it sorted. We had got a partnership planned and agreed with Eden. And we were going to multiply what we were doing into the Grange and into Marketplace prospecting. And then an email came in to say that everything, all the new Edens had been cancelled, that there had been some change in leadership and people had some different ideas that they wanted to put into practice. And so every Eden was cancelled. 9 years of living on the estate, knowing that God had called us to more estates. 6 years of church at five, knowing that God wanted to bless the Grange and Marketplace prospering in the same way that he wanted hubs of kingdom community in those places too. But we had to keep on keeping on. And all of a sudden, it has just all fallen into place. Polly Baker has come to join us. She's come from Ipswich and to live in the area. She is a London Diocese youth work apprentice. We have her for 3 years, free of charge. In fact, the diocese are going to pay her. She's an amazing youth worker who we got connected with at New Wine. You know, normally the diocese charge 5K every year. And I said, well, we haven't got that kind of money. And they said, oh, all right then. So we've got her. You know, God told us to start doing youth work at church at five. And so we just started, went, got new youth workers. We didn't know what we're doing. It was quite appalling, really. But we did what God had told us to do. And now God has given us a youth worker to just grow it and take it on. You see, lovely Elise Stammers up there. She is our new North London part-time kids worker. For years, we've been struggling with leadership of our midweek groups, which are kind of really a foundation of a lot of the community work that we do down on the estate. And a lot of the Grange kids come along to those two and the Prospect Ring Marketplace kids. And yet we'd had problems finding continuity in leadership and we'd had problems with funding with it. And all of a sudden, the funding comes in and Elise is available. And she is the perfect person for the role. It is utterly amazing. And then as I said, you know, on Hope North London Sunday, the Kovars were talking about selling their house in Crouch End and moving into North Finchley. And in moving into East Finchley even. And that has happened. That's their house up there. It's nestled just behind the Grange in kind of spitting distance, if you wanted to spit, to Marketplace prospecting. Real perseverance there. And we have an agreed job description and an agreed name for our new Eden team. We are going to be Eden East Finchley, and we will be covering all three estates. God has done it. I mean, I know it's only 9 years, but for me, that was an awfully long time. But God has done it as we've called to be patient, as we've been called to persevere. And patience really is a matter of trust. It's about trusting in the one who has all the power. Not trying to grasp the power, but trusting in the one who has the power. And Jesus does have the power to bring things into new life, to birth new things. So what has God promised you that you are waiting patiently for? Remember, patience isn't just sitting there doing nothing. It's being proactive and keeping on, remembering he has the power and to trust in him. So what about the other proverb that if you're eagle-eyed and you've read your bulletin, you'll see that we're looking at today? Why don't you turn with me to Proverbs 29, verse 11. Anybody want to shout out a number? Obviously a correct number, not just a random one. That really wouldn't be useful. 632, excellent. Proverbs 29, verse 11. This is slowly going down every time I lean on it. Let me try and pull it up. Maybe not. I won't lean on it. So, Proverbs 29, verse 11 says, "Fools give full vent to their rage, but the wise bring calm in the end." Again, I struggled with this. Not because I didn't necessarily like what it said, but I kind of really struggled to get underneath this and, you know, what was it really trying to tell us, this proverb? So I went again to look at some other translations. And here is what those other translations say. New Living Translation. "Fools vent their anger, but the wise quietly hold back." And the Message says, "A fool lets it all hang out. A sage quietly mulls it over." Now, this is what Jesus is talking about here. Is about actually letting our anger hang out and our anger affect other people. And of course, Jesus was angry himself. There's, you know, the famous bit in the Gospels, isn't there, where Jesus, full of zeal, righteous anger, he clears the temple. And there are two times for us to be angry as well. When we are hurt, you know, we are not called as Christians to be punch bags or doormats. We're not called to say, "Oh, that's fine, it doesn't hurt," when actually, you know, we have been hurt and we are angry about something. We have to own that anger. It's really important that we do. Because if we don't own that anger, just as a proverb says, it will hang out. And we don't want that to happen, because we don't want that for other people, do we? So what is a godly way of dealing with our anger? Because we all get angry, don't we? What does Jesus say about it? Because he normally has a few good things to say about a lot of things. So Ruth is going to come and just read us a short passage about what Jesus said about to do with our anger.
This is from Matthew chapter 5, and if you do have the church Bibles, it's on page 917. Matthew chapter 5, starting at verse 21. "You have heard it that it was said to the people long ago, 'You shall not murder,' and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, 'Raka,' is answerable to the Sanhedrin. And anyone who says, 'You fool,' will be in danger of the fires of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there, in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to that person. Then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who's taking you to court. Do it while you are still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny.
Not the most cheery of readings. Yes, let's give her an encouragement. Thank you, Ruth. We're sorry I started this, aren't we? It's great. I love a bit of encouragement. You know, that is kind of seemingly harsh teaching, isn't it, there? But we need to remember that Jesus was speaking into a really stressful situation. Israel was occupied and people were really feeling insecure. The situation was like a tinderbox. It was kind of ready to go up at any minute. The Romans were insulting the Jews. The Samaritans were attacking the Jews. The Jews were fighting back. The different Jewish parties were insulting one another. And they were attacking one another. And there was all this anger. All this anger just hanging out everywhere. What were people going to do with that? Well, Jesus kind of had a radical way of dealing with it. It may seem kind of like harsh teaching. It may seem impossible teaching, that passage that we've just listened to. But actually, we need to remember who Jesus is and what Jesus did. Because you see, Jesus took all the anger from his enemies within Israel. He took all the anger of his enemies from outside Israel, that was the Romans, and he took all of that anger onto himself, and he died under that anger. Why? To bring us reconciliation, not only with God, but reconciliation with one another, showing us a new way to live, how to deal with our anger, not let it hang out and affect one another. The problem is, we often have a lack of trust in who God is. Just like when we have to look at patience, and actually we sometimes don't trust God, we actually, with this issue of anger, also don't trust God. It's like we want to deal with the issue all by ourselves. We want to kind of give it to the person with two barrels. We want to sort them out. We want to stop it all. Instead of trusting in God. Trusting God with the situation. Handing it over to him. Because if we hand over those situations that we are struggling with about anger, actually then that releases forgiveness as well. And then that releases God to do some amazing things. But often we don't trust in him. We want to sort it out ourselves. We want to give the person two barrels ourselves. But then there's also an issue of lack of trust when it comes to using anger as a shield. He's going to put a picture of Batfink up there. Anybody remember Batfink? He uses his wings of steel as a protection. Do you know sometimes we use our anger as protection? We don't want to hand it over to God and have forgiveness in the situation and be reconciled because our anger protects us. It's like it protects us getting back into that situation so that we won't get hurt again. The problem is we haven't received God's healing for whatever has happened. And so we feel really insecure. And so we use anger as a protection mechanism instead of trusting in God that he is able to heal us. So patience and anger, both kind of two random proverbs, actually both have a root in trust. Trust that God will do what he said he would do. Being patient enough to keep on keeping on, even when things don't go the way we expected them to, even if we've had to keep on keeping on for years and years and years, still trusting in God, having patience in the Lord. Not just sitting there, doing nothing, waiting for the sky writing, but keeping on, keeping on. And then there's that trust around anger. That trust that God is able to sort it out. We can trust him to do that. And he is able to heal us. And he is able to protect us. We do not need to be like Batfink, using that anger for our protection. He is our protector. He is able to heal us. So where are you today in that story? Are you needing to keep on keeping on? Do you need to trust in God? Have that patience that he is the one who has the power, so you don't need to grab at it? Or are you struggling with anger today? Maybe you can't even remember why you're angry, but you know you're angry. Then you need to be trusting in the Lord that he will sort it out and he will heal you. And we're going to have some time and some space now to let God do what he does best, which is being God. And if you want to at this point, you can get your phone out and play on it. That's okay. Check your emails, have a little look at Facebook. You can, if you want, to read the notice sheet or the bulletin or whatever it's called these days. Or you can engage with God, because he, I promise you, wants to do something in all of us today. So why don't we just open up our hearts and our lives before him now. Let's put the phone away, the bulletin away. And maybe just as a sign to God, you just want to put your hands out in front of you and say, God, okay, I'm up for this. Would you come, Holy Spirit? Would you come in all your goodness and all your kindness? And Lord, we want to invite you into our lives, into the house of our lives, not just the rooms that we've got hoovered and prepared and are on public show, but we want to invite you into our whole lives, our whole house, the attic, the basement, the messy garage. Lord, you are welcome into the whole lot, because you are good and you are kind. Just as you start sensing the Holy Spirit with you, just welcome him and thank him that he's here with you. Maybe you just kind of feel a quickening of your spirit. Maybe it's heat that you feel. Maybe it's just peace that you feel. Maybe you feel nothing, and just in faith, you just want to thank the Lord that he is here with us by his Spirit. And Lord, you know there are those things that we have run out of patience for. That we've started to take back and that we want to deal with, because we're fed up of keeping on, keeping on. And Lord, we give you back those things now. Because you are God and we are not. You are Almighty God, we are not. You have the power and we don't. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The Lord's just going to come and give us a renewed patience, a renewed energy to keep on keeping on. For some of that, it'll be things in our family, things maybe in our personal lives, things in our work lives, whatever it is. Just invite the Lord to give you that new energy to be patient and to keep on keeping on. And some of you are just even having a kind of internal struggle at the moment and just saying to the, saying, but he hasn't done it. He hasn't done it. And the Lord knows that. And he still wants you to give back to him whatever it is. And trust him with it. And be patient. Not taking the power for yourself, but giving it back to the one who holds all the power. Just keep receiving from the Lord. We're not rushing away. We've got time. Lord, we thank you for your presence here with us. Thank you for your transformation in our lives. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, you know that there are those of us who struggle over anger. And Lord, we've not trusted you to put the situation right. We've held on to it. And we just kind of want to sort it out by ourselves and give the person or the situation 2 barrels. Lord, we want to give you back those situations now that we feel angry about, that we feel hurt about. Some of you, that's going to be a real struggle to give that back to the Lord. And I just encourage you to press in there and to give it back to him. To relinquish power to him, to trust him again. Lord, we choose to trust you. Lord, we don't hold on to that anger and use it as a shield so that we won't get in that situation again and we won't get hurt again. Lord, we believe that you are able to heal us. Would you come with your healing now? We invite you, Holy Spirit, to come with your healing. Into those deep places. More of you, Lord. More of you, Holy Spirit. Come with your healing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord, in those deep places. Just really invite you to press in to God's healing now. Over things that have made you angry, that have hurt you. Time doesn't heal, but God can. Press into it. And Lord, we declare again that you are our protector. Not our anger, not our pain. But you are our protector. We trust in you. We choose to trust in you, in the things we're being patient for, in the things that we struggle over with anger. We choose to trust in you. Maybe just put a hand over your heart and just say to the Lord, I choose to trust in you. Just so you do that, it's like the darkness lifts. When we choose to trust in God, the enemy doesn't have the power in those situations. When we choose to trust in the living God, the one who has all the power.